For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get your free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/necessaryblackness. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from. You can access it from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
I would like to give thanks to the ancestors, known and unknown, those who have paved the way for us to survive this moment of time and to have a reference point to use as a blueprint to deal with these hellish times we are living in. I would also like to give honor and reverence to the woman of the universe for your superior work, for bringing forth the spiritual information through the triple stage of darkness of your womb and giving birth to God. We would like to give reverence to the universe and praises to the indigenous. My name is Raheem Shabazz, and this is Necessary Blackness Podcast.
Necessary Blackness Podcast, every Wednesday at 6 p.m. with award-winning journalist and filmmaker Raheem Shabazz. This podcast is only for those who are unapologetic, because the mind of the conscious man or woman recognizes no monopoly on truth. Truth is relative and always to be sought.
Yo, check out the award-winning docuseries Elementary Genocide. This docuseries provides a critical expose of mass incarceration, the war on drugs, and the connection between slavery, capitalism, and the prison industrial complex. This docuseries features Dr. Umar Johnson, Dr. Boyce Watkins, Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, Killer Mike, David Banner, Professor James Small, Kaba Kamene, and so many other people. Check out Elementary Genocide, the School to Prison Pipeline, Elementary Genocide 2, the Board of Education versus the Board of Incarceration, and the latest installment, Elementary Genocide 3, the Academic Holocaust. It's all available now at elementarygenocide.com.
Tune in for the drop.
I am Dr. Kira Taylor. And when I'm tired of listening to fake news, I will listen to some real news, and I will check in to the Necessary Blackness Podcast with my friend Raheem Shabazz.
Raheem Shabazz is one of my guys from way back, and you're now listening to his show, Necessary Blackness Podcast. Stay tuned.
This is Akua of Cultivated Roots Media, and I choose to tune in to Necessary Blackness because staying connected to my blackness is very necessary.
Yo, that's what I'm talking about, man.
You'll hear it here first.
Now our feature presentation.
Peace and Black Power family. This is your host, Raheem Shabazz, and we are here for another episode of Necessary Blackness Podcast. And in this segment, we're going to speak with an up-and-coming filmmaker named Santos Moss. And he has a very riveting documentary called Moving Forward, Past, Present, and the Future of Black America. And he's from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Let's welcome him to the Necessary Blackness Podcast. Santos, how are you, my brother?
Man, I am good, and much love to you, brother Raheem.
I appreciate that you coming by and to stop in and speak to us about your documentary. Now, real quickly, tell everybody what is the concept behind Moving Forward.
Okay, before I get off to the concept, let me just say thank you for you sharing your platform with me and allowing me to come on my show to talk about the film and past, present, and the future of Black America. This film right here is very in-depth and it's captivating, and it's dealing with the social climate that we are currently in right now as it relates to a lot of the social ills that we deal with as Black people, because a lot of times whenever we get to talking about the things that directly affect us or the things that's going wrong in our community, the conversation conversation always seems to go back, what's wrong with black people because they want better for themselves. So in this film, we deal with the sins of the medical industry. We talk about the food industry. We talk about white supremacy. And we also deal with why is there a divide between black Africans and the Africans in America. So we want to talk about these things so that we can have an open and honest conversation so that we can reach a point of healing and renewal.
That is definitely something that we need as a black community, healing and renewal. And we also need to speak about those social issues that you just mentioned, whether it's medical apartheid, whether it's mass incarceration, and some of the ills that are affecting us. So my next question to you is, what would you like the viewers to walk away with after viewing Moving Forward, Past, Present, and the Future of Black America?
Awareness, sense of a black pride, and pride in themselves. And also having a sense of boldness to really hit a lot of these issues head on that directly affect us. Because when we sit and we have these conversations about things that are directly related to us, it's like a lot of times we are ashamed to really say what need to be said. Mm-hmm. And mostly I'm just going to be straightforward. I'm not sure what's the language tone of this radio station.
Nah, so, we're not governed by FCC. We don't accept corporate donations. So we free to say what the fuck we want.
All right, that's what I want to hear then. A lot of times we're too worried about white comfortability. And when you're talking about a lot of these social issues, see, I'm a social justice warrior. See, I'm not afraid to get out here to put myself on the front line and talk about these things. But it's like where our people see that things directly affect them, and then we're on the front line, like me, yourself, and other people who are social justice warriors. It's like we are targeted mostly by our own kind, and that's because we want things to go better for our community, and we start to do a lot of kingdom building and then being the repairers of the breach. So I want our people and those also who want to help out with the ills of the black community to really try to put forth the effort to come together in unity so that we can have better for ourselves.
We need that. We definitely need that. Now, as a documentary filmmaker myself, I can tell you firsthand that this is no easy feat. This is not a walk in the park. This is something that is very strenuous. And I know that it hasn't been easy putting out a film of this magnitude. What were some of the hardships that you might encounter while working on this film?
Oh, man, where can I start from? First of all, you know, finances. You know, you got to invest in yourself before you can get somebody to invest in you, just to show that you believe in the work that you do. And then getting people to stay dedicated to the work. Mm-hmm. Because I started off with a team at first, and as the documentary progressed and it went on through the years, because it took me like almost three years to get this film completed. Mm-hmm. And you know, it was because of getting the B-roll, doing the research, making sure that you got the right information, all your I's are dotted, your T's are crossed, you know, and those things take time. And then what we have here, Brother Shabazz, a lot of people do not want to do that groundwork. They don't want to do that grunt work. Absolutely. But they do that, you know what I'm talking about, that foundational work.
Yeah, yeah.
But now when it comes to the turn up, when it's time to pop the bottles, when it's time to go to the screenings, when it's time to get on the red carpet, everybody want to be around you. But see, yeah, all of the grunt work, you know, I went through like two or three teams of people. And I think that was the most challenging thing, to find people who can be dedicated to the vision that you have for your film and really being putting out all into it. And I see all the sweat, the blood, the tears, the sleepless nights, and doing all the things that really doing whatever it takes to get the film completed. That was the hardest task for me.
And you talked about vision. And I tell people all the time that we must follow the vision and trust the process. And you didn't have people that trust the process while you was in the process of making that documentary. But now that it's done, brother, I congratulate you. And I take my hat off to you, because I know the grunt work that was put into making a documentary of this magnitude. So my last and final question is, there's going to be individuals that want to go and view this documentary. Some of them are going to want to purchase it. Where can they go to find your documentary?
Okay, you can go to TLMinistry.org and click on the products tab, and there you can find where we have posters, t-shirts, and a DVD available, and also we have physical copies and a digital download available for the DVD. And for those who want to follow me on social media, you can follow me on Instagram at The Real Mr. Santo, and also on Facebook under Santo Moss.
All right, you heard it right here first, ladies and gentlemen. This is Necessary Blackness Podcast, and I am your host, Raheem Shabazz, and I want to thank you, Santos Moss, for coming through, and we will continue on with our next segment of this podcast. Stay tuned. We'll be back after we take this quick commercial break. Peace.
Persons interested in broadcasting a commercial can reach us via email at necessaryblacknesspodcast@gmail.com. Necessary Blackness is distributed on all major podcast platforms: iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, SoundCloud, Podomatic, and Google Play. We'll also promote your business and product across our various social media networks, reaching over 100,000 people daily.
Peace and Black Power family, this is your host Raheem Shabazz, and we are here for another episode of Necessary Blackness Podcast, and I have a special guest in the building, and she is not a stranger to the Necessary Blackness Podcast, and her name is Kiomi, and many of y'all may know her for the Ujamaa Fest. Last year, she was on here talking about the Ujamaa Fest. And this year is back again. This is the annual fest, and this is actually the 8th year. Now, I heard that once something happens for 10 years in a row, it becomes an institution. Have you heard of that?
Well, I did not hear that.
All right.
That's something really good to hear, because our other business, The Good Hair Shop, we just celebrated 10 years.
Oh, wow.
This year. So that means that The Good Hair Shop is an institution.
Yep.
That's good.
It's an institution that's run by a family.
Yes.
And that benefits the community. Now, before we get into speaking about the community and everything you got going on, you mentioned The Good Hair Shop.
Yes.
And I happened to go in there 2 weeks ago, you and a couple of individuals, y'all was in there, and y'all was talking about voting, and y'all was talking about my 100% of my vote block
votes.
Saying how does it
100% of my block votes.
100% of my block votes. I like that. What is that whole organization and concept about, and how you was involved in that?
So it was a community initiative for people to be Black leaders, in a sense. And we were responsible for going to every single person on our block to ensure that they were actually registered to vote, to make sure that they had not been purged from the voting list, to make sure they were aware of the early voting polls, and basically just to kind of answer any questions that a person may have on our block for voting. And so we did that because this past election here in Georgia was a very critical race when it came to the governor's race.
Oh, tell me about it.
Yes. And so we had Sister Stacey Abrams running, and I think she put in an extraordinary fight. But there was also a lot of voter suppression that happened. So I think in the past, we've kind of had ideas or inklings about voter suppression. This year, it was so intentional because the state of Georgia was about to turn blue, I think, was going to go back to being been run by a Democratic governor versus a Republican governor. And so the initiative was for us to really take one block at a time to ensure voting, because we know it starts at a local level.
Yeah, and I think y'all was very successful in doing that, and I think Stacey Abrams was successful as well.
She was.
And her ground game was crazy, because so many people was out canvassing the neighborhood, getting individuals to vote, and you actually seen it on election day when you seen the masses of people come out. And not only that, the millions, y'all heard me, I said millions of people that actually voted earlier. Now, everybody that listened to my last podcast, y'all already know what happened to me with the voter suppression.
Yes, yes.
You'll see the video online. You also can check out Finding Justice. Mm-hmm. And it's executive produced by Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And it's talking about voter suppression, and they have me in there. From what I'm hearing, me and Killer Mike is in there the majority of the time.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to that. But let's continue on with the community. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about this UJAMA Fest.
Yes.
When it's happening, why it's happening. And this is the 8th year. And every year, y'all have a theme.
Yes.
I want to know what this year's theme is. And why should the Necessary Blackness Podcast family come out and support this?
The theme this year is the Black Currency Exchange. The exchange of currency. There's a statement that money in our community doesn't really stay in it for a very long time. So
absolutely,
that exchange of currency is this very short thing that allegedly a lot of people say that happens. I kind of want to counter that because I know that there's a lot of us that are consistently supporting Black-owned businesses. We're not waiting for a corporation to have an event and then we all of a sudden try and boycott that business. There are a lot of us that are consistently supporting Black-owned businesses, and we wanted to try and, one, we know there's some energy in that currency. There's power in that exchange. And so we put the words the Black Currency Exchange because we want to be intentional about what we mean in terms of the exchange of that currency in our community.
Black dollars matter.
Yes.
Keeping that black dollar in our community.
Yes.
And you know, I always tell our people is that we have to be entrepreneurs.
Yes.
We have to control the resources in our own community, and we have to stop wearing poverty as a badge of honor.
Yes.
And we got to understand, like you said, currency, and we got to understand the alchemy of making bread. You got to have dough. So you got to have this currency in order to make pivotal business moves.
Do. And who you give your money to is who you are empowering.
Absolutely.
Right? So if you are consciously making a decision to give money, give your power to a business or a corporation or a company that does not support your community or not supporting people that look like you, you know, there's just a lot to be said. There's a choice that you can make. And I know a lot of people talk about that there are it's hard to find, you know, black businesses. You know, it's hard to find black businesses for your services or your product. I kind of counter that because I do feel like for every single product or service that I'm intentional of making sure that a black or a brown person is on that receiving end of the money, I'm able to find that.
Oh, yeah. There's directories that you can go to. And
yes,
it lists nothing but black businesses.
Yeah.
Now, you talk about giving and receiving money.
Yes.
And every year, you actually give out money.
We do.
Where you have the Economic Heritage Small Business Pitch.
We do.
And last year, the sister, Nalijah, she won. And I was honored to see her win because I know what she do in the community with her store. And I just seen that she has the awning, the sign for her new business.
Yes.
So you can see the wheels in motion. You can see that the money that she won was put to a good cause.
Yeah.
So this year, what is going to be like? What are you looking for? And how can the deadline already pass?
So the deadline has already passed for that. However, the idea, the focus, we came up with this idea to be able to fight displacement in our community.
Mm.
So for your listeners who are not familiar with Atlanta, Atlanta, as black as it is a very beautiful, unique space. But also there is some changing of the outlook a little bit, a changing of the horizon, I would say. Gentrification is happening. There's a lot of displacement. And marginalized black communities are at risk.
Absolutely.
So black business owners, especially the mom and pop business owners who probably have had handshake leases doing month to month are at most risk. And so as business owners, as community people, Mark and I, which is my husband, we wanted to kind of figure out what could we do beyond just being an armchair activist. Mm-hmm. And we do know for small business owners, even if somebody said, I'm paying your rent for the month, right? Mm-hmm. That is a make it or break it for a family. That's a make it or break it for a business owner.
That's a make it or break it for me.
Yes. So we pulled together $1,000 for us to be able to do our own kind of community hood version of Shark Tank. Mm. So a business person, last year we had three, stood before a group of community people from the community. So there were people from the business community, such as Invest Atlanta, from City of Atlanta, but we also had neighborhood community folks. There was a president of the West End Merchant Association. Mm. And then there was a regular community person that is living in the community of where these business owners have come from. And so we want this fund to be able to grow. We want it to be hopefully that it's not something that we can sustain a Black-owned business owner for just during Ujamaa Fest. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it could grow, or what we'll be intentional about is making it so that it's not a Band-Aid of just doing $1,000 for the pitch, but we could get it so that we could help someone maybe get a building and actually sustain them longer than just a Band-Aid of just renting.
See, that's when I'm going to throw my hat in there.
Yes.
Ain't gonna lie. If you can get me a building,
yeah,
man, Tyler Perry, you better watch out.
But that's what our class is about. The financial literacy classes that we have are specifically for you to be more empowered as a Black-owned business owner. Our approach for Ujamaa Fest is your success is our success.
Absolutely.
So there's that orientation
I
that
am
we
because
did.
We are.
Yes. We have the vendor orientation, the classes that we do. Our festival director is phenomenal. And so
what's the vendor's orientation?
So the vendor orientation is not only a platform for us to connect with the vendors that are in the small business marketplace, mm-hmm. and we're kind of going over you know, the layout, the schematic. But last year, we actually included vendor tips, how to display, how to transport your items from your vehicle to the load-in dock in a very efficient manner.
Yeah.
So we
I don't mean to cut you off, but let me tell y'all something, right?
Yes.
I was a vendor last year, and that was the most professional, you
yes.
hear me?
Yes.
That I ever seen this thing done.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking about they call you.
Yeah.
Are you en route? When you get there, there's someone outside with a clipboard.
Yeah.
Oh, you situated at such and such, such and such.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You go, your name is on the floor.
Yeah.
Somebody comes by, asks you if you need any more seats.
Yeah.
So, like, it was
but
totally
that's so that you can be successful, right?
Yeah.
Because if you're not worrying about where you're going to park your car, if you're not worried about how you're going to load in, you are able to have a kind of a nice peaceful set, tranquil set of mind that mm-hmm. you can start your day. And I think one of the things that we've known from vending all of these years, there are some areas we could kind of tweak it. And even beyond that, just knowing that the information that we were giving in the vendor orientation was not just for the Ujamaa Fest, but just for you being a vendor. We had people who were, that was their launch of their first, of their business. So that was their first time vending, as well as we would have what I call the micro mom entrepreneurs who were, you know, sisters who just maybe had a cupcake business. She was running out of her house. Yeah. So there was information that we did about, you know, having your PayPal set up. So it was a financial literacy standpoint from a vendor standpoint. But then also even just the panel discussions that we had last year are geared towards you being a business owner. This year, we're adding the component of home buying. That's a part of your legacy. That's a part of your generational wealth. That's something that our community struggles in sometimes, in getting from having that pathway from renting a home to ownership. And also during that piece of the home buying clinic, there'll be some conversation about what do you do with your estates? What do you do with your wills? What do you do with your trust? Just down to basic life insurance.
Yeah, you know what? I know it was a lot going on.
Yes.
I missed so much of that because I was vending.
Yes.
And now you're saying this, I'm like, you know what?
We're going to get you on the panel this year. Yeah.
Yeah, but somebody's going to have to sit at my table this year because I need to walk around.
Yeah.
I need to be absorbed into everything because I was seeing a lot of stuff from afar,
yeah.
but I didn't want to get up, leave my table. A lot of money floating around. Yeah. And it was like,
yeah.
Everybody was coming around, so you was going to see people.
And we think of everybody. Last year, we offered a youth coding class that was free.
I remember that.
So that was absolutely free because we do understand that digital component. These babies that are coming after us are phenomenal. They're brilliant, oh, yeah. right?
Absolutely.
So we added that piece, and everything that we did is free. We don't want money to be a holdup for you coming in and getting some of this love, some of this knowledge. So it's a free event.
And you know what else is free?
Yes.
Y'all allow individuals to bring their children in.
Yes.
And y'all had a children's section.
Yes.
With the sister, I seen the sister Akua over there.
Yes. Storytelling. Yes.
Yeah. So that was phenomenal.
Kids Arts and Crafts, Michaela from Unspoken Word Design. She has been with us from the very beginning. Okay. And so there are interactive art activities that are happening that is completely free.
And then the martial arts.
That was phenomenal. Yes. Yes.
I like that. I seen the young brothers doing the drills, and that's one of the things that we got to have. We talk about, you know, being economically viable, mm-hmm. controlling mm-hmm. the resources mm-hmm. in our community.
Yeah.
But you better know how to fight to maintain those resources because the colonizer will come and take it.
And Brother Stephen Muhammad from the Black Karate Federation, I may be wrong, but it's my understanding that he is the only person that's ever actually fought and won against Bruce Lee.
Oh, wow.
So that's Brother Stephen Muhammad. He was the older brother.
He was there?
He was there last year, yes.
Yeah, you see that? History. The man that, you said he fought him or he beat him?
He beat him, yes.
Oh, he beat, yes. see?
Yes, yes.
You can't tell me the black man ain't God.
And we do have an emphasis on the intergenerational piece.
Mm-hmm.
Our drummers last year, we specifically chose youth drummers. So we actually had Enzuri Drummers. That is a youth-led all-drum group. Full of entrepreneurs, and their ages range from, I think, 8 to about 13.
Yeah,
but our
drumming
circle
too.
Was led by the youth last year.
Yeah.
And so we got a couple of things we're trying to do this year with the emphasis on that intergenerational piece. We are doing an award this year called the Economic Heritage Legacy Award. And we're going to award that.
From the pitch thing?
Yes. Yeah, so an award year, the Legacy Award is, we're going to award that to Lonnie Sabor. Lonnie Sabor is the small business, I think, economic manager from Invest Atlanta. And he's been there for 39 years.
Oh,
so for 39 years, he has been instrumental in making sure that black business owners had access to this capital, access to this funding. And so he's a living legend that anyone that, if you see him at Ujamaa Fest, you need to grab that man and ask for 10 minutes.
Well, you need to introduce me to him.
I will. And what we do, he's always around. But when you all hear us say Lonnie Sabor, you need to grab 10 minutes
with
him.
Okay. Yes. And another thing that they do,
vendors,
they have someone come around with a microphone and they give you a chance to introduce yourself to everybody that's in attendance.
Yes. That business spotlight.
Is there still vending available?
So that is real snug.
All right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, she's going to let us know if vending is still available. It might not be because they do sell out.
Yes.
And they're not letting just any and anybody vent. You know, like if you come in and, you know, your t-shirts was made in China or your candles was made in China.
That is correct.
You might not be able to vent there.
That is correct.
But we're going to talk about that more. This is Raheem Shabazz with Necessary Blackness Podcast. And I am sitting here with Kiyomi.
That is right.
Of the Ujamaa Festival. And my man Mark, whose phone is going off.
Let's head him around.
Because we busy out here. Peace and black power, family.
Necessary Blackness Podcast don't accept sponsorship from third-party corporations or influencers. We are supported by the people. If you are an avid listener of the podcast, consider donating to our cause. Go to elementarygenocide.com and click on the donation link.
Elementary Genocide provides a critical exposé of mass incarceration, the war on drugs, and the connection between slavery, capitalism, and the prison industrial complex. Visit our website at www.elementarygenocide.com. Now available, Elementary Genocide, the school-to-prison pipeline. Elementary Genocide 2, the Board of Education versus the Board of Incarceration, and the newest release, Elementary Genocide 3, Academic Holocaust. Log on today to purchase your very own three-set docuseries.
Peace and power, Black family. This is your host, Raheem Shabazz, and we are back from our quick commercial break. And for those that are just joining me, this is Necessary Blackness Podcast, and I am sitting here with Kiyomi of the Ujamaa Fest, and many of y'all know her from the Good Hair Shop. I ain't even got no hair, and I know about the Good Hair Shop, so I know y'all know, and if y'all don't know, y'all need to go visit the sister. Now, before we was leaving, and we went to our quick commercial break, we was talking about the Convetted Ujamaa Fest, and was there any vendor space available? But you know what? I'm not even going to let her answer that right now, because y'all going to have to stick around to find out if y'all going to be able to vend or not. And if you ain't able to vend, you better get on the waiting list for next year.
Yes.
So the question I do want to ask you is, what are some of the challenges of being a Black business owner? Like, what are some of the challenges a lot of Black business owners encounter? And what are some of the things that they can do to maybe counteract that stigma about being a Black business owner, and it's so hard? Yeah. And you always hear the failure rate. You know, like so many businesses fail within the first 4 years. Mm-hmm, and seldom is there any success stories told.
Well, I think, well, a couple of things. I think some of the challenges about being a Black-owned business owner are very similar to our folks that's not Black. But I think that failure rate is probably the same, I would say. It's just I think sometimes there's more of a spotlight in our community when we fail. I think challenges for Black business owners is, one, what is your identity when you approach your business? Black business owners are challenged with how are you authentically yourself? I think there's a thought with some Black business owners that you can't really identify as Black. They don't want people to know that they're a Black business.
I hate that.
Me too. And I think right there, that's a challenge. If you can't authentically be yourself, you're always forever going to be challenged with your brand and your consumer base. So I think that's one. I think two, access to capital. A lot of Black businesses just start with a couple of months savings, if that. We unfortunately don't have the benefit of having, you know, something that was passed down to us.
Legacy.
We don't have an inheritance that we could just, you know, grab. And I watch The Prophet a lot. And on The Prophet, you hear people when they're doing their startup. Yeah. And the startup is like, oh, yeah, well, my dad gave me $70,000 and my friend gave me another $100,000. Black folks really don't have, that's not their origin story a lot.
But we got the Heritage Fund.
We got the Heritage Fund.
Fund. So we're going to have it.
Yes. It's challenged for the access to capital. And as well as if you are a community-based business, you're doing a lot more beyond your regular day-to-day. And I also think that most of us start our business as kind of social entrepreneurs, meaning that we are really taking care of and investing in our community beyond our shop doors.
That's right.
And I also think when you are a community business or a Black-owned business, it's a challenge sometimes to kind of get out of that rut, to continue the education, to stay on that curve. So whatever the category of your business, whether it might be the restaurant business, it might be retail, you're so busy grinding that. Sometimes your competitors have that advantage because they were able to continue their education. And then also there's this belief that our customers come through the door sometimes, unfortunately, with this idea that a Black business has to jump through 15, 30 hoops just to be able to accommodate them. So the same energy that they're receiving in Walmart or a bad customer service, or if you go to a Chinese restaurant in the hood and you have to exchange your money through a bulletproof glass, right? That's bad customer service. And you still continue to go. So I think what happens is when you have a bad experience at a black business, sometimes consumers just immediately say, oh, I'm done, instead of allowing that black...
amplified.
Yes. And they don't allow that black... I always say if you have a bad service or a bad experience at any of our events or our business, give me the opportunity to get it right for you first. But also, I want you to have that same energy when you stand in that long line at Walmart, when you go into the Asian beauty supply store, and they don't even talk to you, right?
No.
When they demand that you have to spend a certain amount of money before you even use your credit card, right? And you continue to go. So I know that's a whole nother thing in terms of working on our relationships. But I think that's a hard part. And I definitely could say having a retail space for 10 years and dealing with our customers, and a lot of our customers are phenomenal. There's a small percentage that are challenging. And the average business owner may not be really prepared to deal with all of that.
You know? Yeah, but when you have that small percent that's challenging, but the overall a good customer, it kind of, you know, makes you still
most definitely.
What you do.
Most definitely.
I want to talk about when we was talking, when you mentioned it earlier, where you was talking about how people expect black business to be different than any other business expect more from us.
Yes.
That shouldn't be the case.
It shouldn't be the case.
It should never be the case. You know, as a black business, you're supposed to honor that business. That same business could be the one that put resources that's much needed in your community. Because we all are a community.
We are.
Like how you said, you got to have that same energy. So my last and my final question.
Yes.
Well, I have about one or two more.
Sure.
The Ujamaa Fest, 8th year. We're going to be going to the 9th year. We're going to be going to the 10th year and beyond. Why do you feel there's a need for something like this to exist? Because we have other festivals that happen. What makes the Ujamaa Fest unique within itself, and that makes it stand out?
So Ujamaa is from the principle of Kwanzaa, which means cooperative economics. There is so much power that the community could get just from the basic principle of cooperative economics beyond Kwanzaa. So year round, if there is really a collective community-based effort, we could really change some things and kind of pivot where we stand financially. So it is important because we are authentically talking about cooperative economics and how we partner with the small businesses that are part of the marketplace, the workshops that we're offering in terms of the financial literacy piece, even the piece that we do for the kids. It's great that we have the interactive art activities, but we've also had scientists come. We've also had engineers come. We had the coding class, the storytelling. All of that is so that our youth and our community can see cooperatively our talents, what we're successful at, and its exposure. And so it's necessary because the spotlight, what we just said earlier, that there's this idea that we may have a higher failure rate than our other counterparts. I don't know what the percentage would be in the media in terms of how we get exposure, but there can never not be enough access or exposure to black-owned businesses.
We trendset it.
Yes.
You know, so.
Every quarter, there's some big corporate blow-up where a corporation has to apologize to us for a racist ad or something that's insensitive, right?
Because it hurts their bottom line.
Yeah, it hurts their bottom line.
And that's why, you know, it gets me upset when you have individuals, and I heard this before, you know, I don't want it to be known as just a black business.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I want to put a white face on it. So you think the white man ice is colder and people going to gravitate to it?
Listen, when you go to a Chinese restaurant, you're very clear who owns that space,
absolutely,
right?
And you still spend your money.
You're very clear about
a bulletproof
who glass. They their shrine that is at their door,
yeah.
right? The menu that is in two different languages. Mm-hmm. One is in English. When sisters go and get their nails done, they are very clear on the identity and the heritage and the culture of the people who own that business. And it's never impacted their bottom line ever. I've never heard a sister or a brother go into a nail shop and go, ah, I just wish she was a little less Asian, right? That has never happened. Nah. They've never gone into a Chinese store. They've never gone into the bodega and said, I want to spend my money. I just wish she was a little less Middle Eastern, right? Yeah. That has never happened. But we are expected to not be as authentic as we can. But I will say this, for 10 years of having the Good Hair Shop, for almost 20 years of being entrepreneurs, I've never had any challenge about who I am and what my identity is.
And people from all walks of life come in and
yes,
shop.
Yes, they sure do. They sure do.
Even the people, if the product don't work for their hair,
yes.
still
and for the people who may have challenges, like, you know, with social media, you may get a comment here or there. And some of those comments are from a person who already, for instance, we had this last year, we had a promotion during November. It's No Shame November. And we said it was BYOB. Bring your own beard. You come in with a beard, you would get a free product from us, right?
So and someone's so, arguing about something they got free.
You got to hear this. You got to hear this. Okay. So we are.
And so we are
having this event, and there is a comment, and I had posted it social media, ran a couple of ads, and there happened to be a, I guess, a white man mm-hmm. commented and said, "So is this okay for a cracker like me?" Verbatim, that's what it said. And my response was, if an actual cracker, whether it be Saltine or Great Value brand, walks through my door, they can have anything that they want.
Yeah.
But there was nothing that was racially motivated from my marketing.
Yeah.
But this person just made that assumption, right?
Yeah.
And I can't, that person's probably someone that's not even my customer anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't spend time on trying to convince people. And I think for Black business owners, you have to be yourself.
Yeah,
if you have a Caribbean restaurant, and you got some patties and some cocoa bread, you better be from one of them islands, right? I need to authentically know that and feel that in your rice and peas, like for real, right? So other cultures have the opportunity. If you go into an Irish pub,
you're
going to know where you're at. That person may have never been to Ireland. Their great, 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 great grandfather might be Irish.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we don't get a chance to celebrate our culture and our heritage, or people are meant to feel bad about it. People talk about Ujamaa Fest being this Kwanzaa event, and people have said to us, oh, well, I can't go to Ujamaa Fest. I can't celebrate Kwanzaa because I'm Christian. And my response is, well, a couple things. Kwanzaa is not a religious holiday. And come St. Patrick's Day, you're not Irish, but you really be wearing that shirt.
and you be
drinking. So kind of have the same energy, right?
And then the principle, Ujamaa, is something that
the principle is cooperative economics.
Yes. Every day, all day, 24 hours a day.
Yes, yes.
So now, the coveted question of the day is,
yes,
is there any more vending left?
So vending is really snug right now. We start our vending.
Snug, what you mean?
So we start, you said earlier in the interview how thorough we are, right?
Yeah.
We start our vendor call. We actually start our vendor call that day of Ujamaa Fest. Mm. There is an email that goes out to every single vendor.
Yeah, I got
asking
that email.
Them, yep, if they want to return.
I got that email when I got home.
Yep. That's how thorough we are, right? And then we started from February up until September. This year, we even introduced the opportunity for vendors to pay in installments because we had a survey that was done, and that was some of the input. I would say that a vendor would need to contact our festival director. Her name is Jerry. She is the one that's doing that schematic. We have two floors of vendors that she has to go through and place very strategically.
Yeah.
So I would say they would need to contact her.
What is her email or the phone number you
have for? So Ujamaa Fest at Gmail.
Okay.
Phone number is 678-632-2597. Again, that's 678-632-2597.
And the email again?
Ujamaafest, UJAMAAFEST @gmail.com.
All right. Now, tell everybody, because I already know.
Yes.
But I think you could probably do it and explain it in a more vivid language.
Okay.
City Hall.
Yes. We are...
55
Trinity Avenue.
Trinity Avenue.
So, in the spirit of cooperative economics, we wanted to bring our event to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a person, we were saying earlier, when you want to make some moves, a boss talks to a boss, right?
Absolutely.
So we have this event in Atlanta, and we just said, hey, let's go to the mayor's office, right?
Yeah.
We did that last year. They hosted us. We're doing it again this year, working with City Council at large, Andre Dickens. He's our lead sponsor for the space.
Okay, yeah, I know Andre.
And so we have two floors of City Hall. We have the ability, and we hope in another couple of years, we have the ability to do all four floors in the atrium as well as the back part of original.
Wow.
We're just holding it. We're containing it right now, right?
You know what?
So,
in 4 or 5 more years, y'all might be doing the Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Well, we hope in 4 or 5 years we'll have our own building, right? So that's what the for real growth and projected plan is. But it's at City Hall. It's all day. It's from 1 to 8. It is free. It is free 99 to come, right? Free 99 to come from 1 to 8. Parking is right across the street from the atrium. It is $4 on Saturdays. You could also do a lift. You could also do it's $4 all day. You can take a lift. You can take a train. That's there. It is. Oh, you can get on a bird if you want to. Come on down there.
Didn't y'all have like a lift code?
We did. We had a lift code as well as we had a designated lift tent.
You can't get no better than that.
So you
get a lift code and
yes.
You got a lift tent.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And so that was the pickup and drop off point for Ujamaafest. But cultural performances, youth activities, financial literacy classes. We want you as an attendee to not only, see all the good merchandise that we have, but we want you to walk away empowered. I want someone to walk away from attending that home buying class and really have a plan for ownership.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to.
I really want someone to be able to go to any one of the small business classes and be able to connect with business owners to be able to actually get some additional feedback about their product or their brand. I also want the small business owners to be able to get that direct feedback from their consumers who are interested in their business to be able to see their products, see their service, and just to be able to highlight it. A lot of times when Mark and I do our vending, it's great to be able to get that immediate customer feedback and input about a product. That's a valuable resource there.
Yeah, absolutely.
As well as it is Kwanzaa, so it is a powerful thing to see children being intentional about spending their money with Black-owned businesses, as well as the youth seeing their parents do that. Mm. So cooperative economics, 8 years, it is happening. We always tell the story that when we first did Ujamaafest, we had no intentions of it going on and being this annual thing. Mark and I do events a lot, and I had no desire to ever do another annual event. And we did it the first year, just as a Buy Black during the holidays event.
Yeah.
Second year, we were in Florida hanging out. This is kind of pre-social media. A lot of phone calls when we got back, a lot of messages. People just assumed that it would just happen the next year.
Yeah.
So when we got back, we just said, all right, let's just try it. And we've been here 8 years strong. And as you said, if anything happens 10 years, it's a what? It's an institution. It's an institution. So we will accept that idea, that concept of being an institution. And for the future, setting everything up so that it could be something that we could pass on to our daughter and just set it up so that she could be successful for it. But there always has to be a start or a beginning. And so, and hopefully it could be something that could grow to other markets and other areas. There's some conversation about us doing some additional courses online for small businesses. So we're taking the feedback from people that are coming to the event and just want it to grow.
All right, you heard it here first on Necessary Blackness Podcast. If you don't make it out to this event, you're not able to attend the workshop, you're going to have to probably take that online course.
Yes.
So make sure you come out. They got workshops, partnership, yes, networking, coding, storytelling, and everything else. You know what was good about the festival and what I'm looking forward to this year? I met a sister there, right?
Yes.
And she's the only one that sells this natural deodorant that actually works.
Okay.
Like, that was last year, and yes, I already went through 4 different deodorants that don't work.
Yeah,
like, it might work for a couple of hours, this is the only sister.
Okay.
And I wind up seeing her out, and she says she's going to be there this
year.
So, yeah, now I get to get the deodorant that I want instead of using the other ones that I don't want, and half of them don't work. So, yeah, I met a lot of interesting people
nice,
that recognize me,
nice,
that I recognize that from social media that I haven't met.
Okay.
So, it was very interesting. They had a vegan demo.
Yeah.
You know, with the brother
Methuselah. Yes.
Chef King's Apron.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I watched him do his thing and with the vegan food. So they got everything for everybody and something for the family.
Yes.
So Kiyomi.
That's okay. You had it.
Kiyomi.
It's hard when you're trying to say Kiyomi and Ujamaa in the same sentence. Like, either one of them is going to mess up. One's going to mess up.
Kiyomi, I thank you for coming by.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
I want everybody, family, come out.
And go to the website to RSVP to get your free tickets.
That's right. And y'all also on Facebook, Instagram.
Yes.
Make sure you guys know about that.
Yes. So follow us at Ujamaa Fest on Facebook and on Instagram. There are links everywhere on Instagram. There is a link to get your tickets. That is UJAMAAFEST. That's Ujamaa Fest. That's on Instagram and on Facebook. There's a link where you get tickets. And I don't care. Bring your mama, grandmama, auntie, everybody. So Christmas will be the week before. So by that Saturday, you should have kind of the turkey should have worn off for y'all, where your auntie is still eating pork. The ham has worn off. So you guys should be in a good space to be able to come out and learn about Kwanzaa. We do an amazing candle Kwanzaa libations. And our approach for that ceremony is always as if that is your first time celebrating Kwanzaa. Mm-hmm. So we explain everything.
The seven principles.
We go down to the Kanara, to the mat, all of that stuff. So we explain everything because we do know that a lot of times Ujamaa Fest is a person's first time celebrating Kwanzaa.
And you know, I don't know how many years I celebrated it, but I will tell you, each year I come away learning something different.
Me too.
It's always a monumental moment. And anytime you could be in the same space with those that look like you,
and
you see the genuine love and brothers and sisters is spending money amongst each other, you know, it's a beautiful thing. So I expect to see everybody there.
Yes.
In your closing words, is there anything that I didn't ask you, that I should have asked you, that you want to say and leave with the people?
I would just say continue to support independent media. Necessary Blackness is very necessary. As you see, it's in the name there. So make sure you guys are sharing this podcast with your friends and your family. Download it. Just when you guys got excited when Beyonce had them twins and you were sharing that, I need you all to share the interviews. Raheem, people could go back and download interviews
you had
in the past.
Yes. And this right here is actually the 73rd or 74th.
Oh, very episode. Nice. Very nice.
So, yeah,
very nice.
We're moving up there.
Okay.
We're going to have our 100th episode. We probably
nice.
Do something real big.
Got to do
that.
A party. Yep.
Oh yeah, we got to definitely do a party. We got to definitely do a party. But
so
this
we'll host it.
Fest.
We'll host it at the Good Hair Shop.
Oh yeah, we need
your
100th
session
we
there. And I think in closing, just come out, just come out, come out, come out. It is a free event. Your children need to be there. Your grandmother that's never celebrated Kwanzaa needs to be there. Come out and see your folks and your people. And just enjoy cooperative economics. Let it be your theme for 2019. Let it get you in a space for what your goals are for change. We know that there's some things that are moving in the atmosphere, in the universe, and the Ujamaa Fest is a couple days right before New Year's Eve, and we just want you guys to be in a space that we are ready. One thing that I did not add, we are working on this year, because we all are about family, finalizing a scholarship opportunity that will be given on the spot for a high school senior. So just go to the website, look at that, and go to Ujamaa.
So you're doing that this year?
We're doing that this year.
Y'all just giving money away.
Yeah, this year, we just, a couple little things we got to finalize, but a high school senior will have the opportunity to be able to receive some scholarship money on the spot.
You heard it right here first on Necessary Blackness Podcast. So make sure you come, you network with people who started a business, built a brand, and pursued their dream. And still pursuing that dream, making it happen. And we can make it happen by going out, supporting them.
Yes.
This is Raheem Shabazz with another episode of Necessary Blackness Podcast. Make sure you stay tuned to us each and every week at Wednesday, 6 p.m. Make sure you follow me directly on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Raheem Shabazz, and make sure you support our documentary Elementary Genocide 1, 2, and 3. And also make sure you hit that donation button. And we have the Necessary Blackness Podcast t-shirts. They are back in stock. Make sure you give me an email at necessarybblacknesspodcast@gmail.com and let us know your size, and we will deliver that to you pronto. Peace and Black Power, family.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.